Father God, we love you. God, we honor you. God, thank you for giving us an opportunity just to connect with each other and to encourage each other with the stories of the good things that have happened in our lives in 2019, whether it be in our personal lives, in our church life, in our spiritual life, Father. And as we get excited and we look forward to 2020, God, I pray that we would look forward to it with anticipation and excitement and not with anxiety, God, that we would be joyful and prepared for 2020 because you brought 2020 to us and you're bringing good things to us. So we thank you. We love you, Jesus. And we just trust you and honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's really bright in here. It's not normal for me to get to see all of you guys like this. But maybe let's shut these lights off just a little bit. Then I can focus easier. Then I'm not looking at people's faces. Not that you guys are not nice to look at, but then I get distracted easier. You know what I mean. So we had our time of worship as just fellowshipping together, and now we're going to just have a brief service. And I called this sermon, Stop Acting Like a Christian, and a call to being like Christ is what really it's about. And it's our last Sunday of 2019, and we're about to bring in 2020 this week, and we need to start looking at how we act. You know, I've heard comments made leading up to what's been happening at our church, the good things with connecting with community, connecting community to our church, and our church connecting with the community itself. And I've heard comments made about a church and how they were doing stuff in the community. And someone in the church, not this church, actually made a comment like, what does this have to do with our church? Or what does this have to do with Jesus? We actually had, when we would show movies, we had a fella come when I was showing a Christmas movie and say, what does this have to do with God? What does this have to do with Jesus? And I said, well, actually, I said, the whole event is about just showing love to our community. We're doing a free movie. We have free popcorn, free drinks, and this is just about sharing love. And I think sharing love has everything to do with church. And the people made comments at some of these churches, why are we doing this sort of stuff here? This is not what church is for. And I think the fact of the matter is this, people have forgotten why we exist as the church. People have forgotten why we as believers believe. And when the church stops being the church and the church starts doing church, then we become a dead monument. And by that I mean when we stop just acting like the church, and when we start, we're just continually coming to, what do we do every Sunday? Sing songs, hear a message, take up offering, and go out the door. But nothing's changed within us. We have no purpose. We have no purpose. We have no purpose at all as a believer. We have no purpose as a church because we're just going about celebrating a religion or a dogma. And that's not what we're here. That's not what my heart is here for. My heart is that we serve a living God who has called us to do things. And we need to ensure that our heart beats for what God's heart beats for, even though, you know what I'm saying there, right? What matters to us is what should matter to God, or what matters to God is what should matter to us, is what I'm really trying to say. I'm talking in circles there. But you know what I'm saying? We need to, our heart needs to matter to what God's heart matters. We need to be connected. And it's not God's heart that needs to change to what we want, is it? It's our heart needs to change to what God's heart is for. So I've got some scriptures, and I wanted to really just to drive this home through some scriptures, because that's what we have. That's our authority. So Matthew 18, 10 to 14 says, beware that you do not despise or feel scornful towards or think little of those of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven their angels always are in the presence of and look upon the face of my Father who is in heaven. For this Son of Man came to save from the penalty of eternal death that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray and gets lost, will he not leave the 99 on the mountain and go in search of the one that is lost? And if it should be that he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices more over the one, more over it, over the 99 that did not get lost. Sorry. So that's saying that when that shepherd finds that one sheep that is lost, he rejoices greater than the 99 that have stayed there. Just so it will not, it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should be lost and perish. I'm going to apologize there, guys. I think I need to go to the optometrist for glasses. I was telling Stacy last night, I'm like, I can barely read my words right now. They're a little blurry, so I'm going to have to blow them up. But bear with me today as I read, because I don't know what's going on, unless I just have a bit of a migraine. But guys, passion is the seedbed of reaching the lost of this dying world. We need to have passion for the lost. We need to be passionate about that. We just read that shepherd will go after the one lost. And as a church, as believers, we need to go after the lost. We can't just sit here and expect them to come to us. We need to go meet them where they're at. And that's why we're doing all these things, like when we did the bouncy castle, when we did the, I should explain where we did the bouncy, at the Harvest Festival, right? Or like when we do the Parent and Top Play Cafe, and we have people that are actually engaging us as a church. I haven't shared this with many of you. Maybe I've shared it with some of you, but we've actually got now parents who are unchurched, not attending here, and you know what they're doing? They're actually starting to help out in the kitchen. They're actually starting to take initiative cleaning the church for us. They're actually doing things here in the church, and they're starting to get comfortable. First Friday we did it, I could barely get them to take a cup of coffee from me because they thought we wanted something from them. And all I wanted to do was share the love of Christ with them. And that might just be a cup of coffee. It might be an opportunity to connect and talk. But we need to get passionate about the things that God is passionate about. And that's lost souls. That's people that don't know Him. He wants to share His love with the world. And we're His hands and feet here to do it. And this isn't a rebuke either, guys. So I hope you don't hear this says that. This is an encouragement because 2020... As I was saying to Erla, we were talking about our 2019s and our 2020s, and I said, I'm excited because I know something is happening in this community. I believe that the winds are starting to shift and change. We had a full church here on Christmas Eve. And if you've come to our Christmas Eve services in the past, usually there's 6 to 8 of us, maybe 10 of us. And it's pretty empty. But we had a full church on Christmas Eve. And we talked about how Jesus is the light of the world. And how He loves us. And I think, wow, how often do you get that opportunity? We need to have passion for the lost. We need our hearts to be just stirred up. You know, I shared with Stacy just all these different things that we've had happen with our different ministries that have gone on. I guess this is also a chance to just share with you so you get encouraged. Our single moms night out. If you've come... We don't have a big group. The first one, we had 2 moms and their kids, and then we had 3 moms, and then we had another 3 moms, and then we had another 3 moms. I think that's how it went, right? Or maybe 2 moms, 3 moms, 3 moms. That's what we had. Anyway, I don't think we had 4 moms at one time. Did we have 4 moms? So 2 moms, 3 moms, 3 moms. Sorry. But when they're here, we had some that were very cautious to step in and jump into something. They weren't ready to fully participate in everything. And by the end of the night, the one time Stacy was about to share a devotional, she could see the one mom just start closing up and uncomfortable to be there. And by the end of the night, she was talking and laughing and sharing. Well, some of these moms I've had opportunities to sit with and talk with when we gave them the gifts that we purchased for them, like the gift cards. And I had one of the moms actually contact me, and rather than saying, you know, oh, I'm uncomfortable in the church, which at the first one she was. She was saying, I have an idea for a ministry in the church. I have an idea for us to do something in our community. Guys, this is amazing. And she shared with me her idea is she would like us to look at doing an autistic support group. And she asked, what would the church charge me to do that? And I said, tell me when you want to do it. These are the people we need to minister to, our community. So I'm telling you this because I want you to get passionate for the lost. Because John 3:16 and 17 tells us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Right? His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. It's a mandate from heaven to reach a lost and broken world. And I'm really going to sound like a broken record here today. And I hope I sound like a broken record every day. Because we have a generation here on earth that's just as preoccupied as life as they are with making a living, with having fun, with everything. They're preoccupied with that and they don't look to God. And we need to try to find ways to connect them to God. We have a world that needs Jesus, but they don't know how to find him. See, we're not called as believers to judge or to criticize, but we're called to bridge the gap from them to God and show them how to get to God. And that's our role as a church, is to bridge that gap, isn't it? So that's why we get to do cool things now, like look at an autistic support group for our community. Look at doing things like our Parent and Top Play Cafe, our Single Moms. And in the new year, I'm starting kind of the process on a new believers class that we want to do. Because we have a lot of new believers that we believe, and I believe with all my heart, are going to be coming in these doors. And we need to be prepared for that as a church. And we got to be prepared as a church not to say, what does this have to do with church? But rather, how can I help fill this gap from these people where they're at right now to Jesus? That's what we should be asking. We are God's spiritual GPS systems, is what I had here. We are the ones that say, recalculating, let's go. We got to get to the destination. Recalculating. I want to turn it off when it says recalculating, but we need to say recalculating with love. And we need to work with them and walk with them and journey with them. We can't expect them to be where we're at today. John 17, 14, and 18 says, I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. So this whole scripture here, I jumped ahead of myself. But when I talked about how we want to do a new believers class coming up, guys, we need to teach non-church people, we need to teach new church people the Word of God and what it means and how it can be applied to their lives. How they can make decisions and discussion about Jesus and how it can become real. And these are things we're going to be doing in the new year. And I think it's pretty exciting that we even are having this conversation about having new people come into our family. Not that we're going to say, here's all the things you do wrong, but we're going to say, here's how we can work together and walk together to be live a more godly life. This is who God called us to. And if we keep reading the scripture, Matthew 5, 13 and 14 says, you are the salt of the earth. Who's the salt of the earth, guys? Us, right? You. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on the hill cannot be hidden. Guys, this scripture, I'll tell you the truth. This scripture drove me crazy. Did you know that? And here's why it drove me crazy. Because I have heard and seen believers sit on their high horse and say, I'm the light of the world. Well, who are you lighting? Who are you lighting people to? You're not. Your purpose is to show them Jesus. Your purpose is to show them Jesus in your saltiness, in your flavor. Not to sit there and use it as your beacon and say, look at me with your little flag. But what you're supposed to be saying is, look at me as I walk to Christ. Look at Christ. Look at Jesus. That's what we're supposed to be saying. Not look at me. Look at Jesus. Look at what he's done. Look what he can do in you. That's our purpose. And that's, I want us to really stand on those types of things as a church, because 2020 is a big year. Because, interesting. Okay, sorry. I was thinking, just thought of this. Because 2020, I was just complaining about my eyes, right? But what's 2020? 2020 vision, right? See, I couldn't understand that actually until now. But 2020 vision, 2020, it's something being restored. We're being restored to this full vision as a church, as believers. If we stand and we look to Him, if we utilize Him as our light, as our guide, and if we use Him as our saltiness to be different, set apart, different than the world, and not as a look at me, but hey, let's walk together to Christ. I'm excited for that. I hope you are too. That's interesting too. So, if we keep reading scripture now, Matthew 18, 19 to 20. Anybody know this scripture? This, to me, this scripture should be on our wall door, above our door as we walk out as a church. Because it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Of all nations. Make disciples of all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you when? I'm with you always to the end of the age. So this doesn't tell me, this isn't saying to me, go make disciples of all the nations and tell them what a lousy person they are. And how if they don't turn and burn, or if they don't turn, they're going to burn. That's not what this tells me, does it? Is that what it tells you? That's not what it says. Go make disciples of all nations, and you baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and you teach them all that you have learned by how you live, by being the light in the darkness, by being the salt in an unsalted world. By making a difference with all that you come in contact with. We are not called to judge, we're called to love. That's what I want for us. And I'm just going to throw my iPad, that's how mad I am. But we're called to love. And I'm excited about that because there's a lot of hate in our world, isn't there? But we're called to love. We're called to love. We're called to be the light. We're called to be the salt. All these things we're called to do. And I only have one more scripture for you. And it's John 18. Well, it's a long scripture. 33 to 38. And there's only really one thing I really want you to grab onto here. But there's lots I want you to grab onto. But I decided to share it so we have the whole context. So it says, so Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, do you say this of your own accord? Or did others say it to you about me? And Pilate answers, am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this world. Then Pilate said to him, so you are a king. And Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world. To bear witness to the truth. To testify to the truth is what that's saying. And everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? Pilate says that pretty angry. And after he said this, he went back outside to the Jews, and what did he tell them? What did he tell them? I find no guilt in him. See, Jesus is the truth. So as we share Jesus, as we share Jesus' love, as we share about who Jesus is, as we shine his light, as we share the salt, as we live, we testify to the truth of who Jesus Christ was. And the fact that he brought a kingdom here on earth, and he made, when we became believers, a legal pact with us to be under his kingdom and no longer under the kingdom of man. We're not called to live as man would live, but we're called to live set apart and above. Not always the easiest route, but the better route. See, this scripture, this whole thing about Jesus and the fact that this is the real reason he came was to testify to the truth. All the other stuff, as we've shared in the past, like the healings, this, that, and everything else, that's all a byproduct of him testifying to the truth. The reason he came was to testify to the truth. He is the truth. He is the way. He is the life. And we get opportunities each and every day in our walk and our journey and who we come in contact with to share the fact that Jesus is the truth and he is the only way. We can do that by letting his light shine in us. We can do that by sharing the salt. We can do that by loving and caring. Guys, we need to stop acting like a Christian. And we need to start living like Christ has called us to live. Acting like a Christian is just that, it's acting. We're supposed to live it and not act it. I don't have a song to play to say, like, no Onward Christian Soldier song we're going to sing out in March. But I want you, if you've been acting it, to look and to ask him. Not me. Don't ask your friends. But ask him to reveal how you can live it. You can ask friends for advice as we journey together. But I want us all, I pray that we all just want to live it. That we want to take our prompting from Jesus. That we want to live like Jesus. Would you guys pray with me? Father, we thank you that you sent your son Jesus here to earth to testify to the truth, to your goodness, that you brought life with Jesus. Father, thank you that as Jesus went back to you, that you sent the Holy Spirit here for us, that he would lead us to greater things, to let us do greater things than what Jesus even did here on the earth, just as Scripture has told us. And Father, I pray that we would stand in those truths, that we would be the salt and light here in Rosetown and around in our community. Father, I pray that every person that comes in contact with us doesn't say, oh, there's a judgmental Christian, but they would say, look, there's those loving Christians, those people that just bring light everywhere they go. Father, I pray that we would be impacted today, that you would stir our hearts, that you would stir us to be more like you, that we would want to be more like Jesus, and that we would live our lives like Jesus lived here on the earth, loving people, teaching people, walking with people, and journeying with them. Father, I pray that we would make disciples as you've called us to do. Be with us, and God, as we walk into 2020, I pray that we would have 2020 vision as a church, and that things would be crystal clear, that we would know exactly how to reach our community in new and innovative ways. Father, that we would be willing to do whatever it takes to get him here. And Father, we stand with you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.